11 o'clock in Oklahoma City, along with Sam Humphries producing in studio. Follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Humphries, the number 34. My name is Matt Meyer. Welcome into The Bottom Line on 98.1 FM, WWLS, the sports animal. I'm going to be with you until 1 o'clock today, and we want to hear from you at 405-900-WWLS on the Lucky Star line, Trade Pros Heat and Air Text Nation line. You can always get us at 62582. All you have to do is text the word animal to 62582, and then once you do that, that's how you opt in. You can fire away your comments or your questions on the text line at 62582. You can also tweet the show as well, at Sports Animal on the Trade Pros Heat and Air Text Nation line and the Sports Animal Twitter feed powered by Mr. Electric. So we would love to hear from you either by phone, by text, or on Twitter as well. Lots of ways to connect with us, and there is a ton of stuff to get into. Let's go ahead and jump in. Last night, Oklahoma City defeats Cleveland at the Paycom Center, 112-100. The Thunder get back within one game of 500 by defeating Cleveland last night. Now, it's important to make note that Donovan Mitchell, the all-star guard of the Cleveland Cavaliers, great offseason acquisition, did not play in this game because of a groin injury. But the Thunder took advantage of that. They win 112-100. And just a tremendous game. Stop me if you heard this before. From Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 12 of 21 from the floor, hit his only three-point attempt, was 10 of 11 from the free throw line, and just a terrific game. 8 assists, no turnovers. I'll tell you know, we found out this week that Shai was voted as an all-star reserve. He was fourth in backcourt voting. Keep an eye on him for maybe slipping in to become a starter. We'll see. And the reason I bring that up is because of the ankle injury that Luka Doncic is dealing with. So if Doncic can't play, that would move SGA up at least one spot in the pecking order. What a brilliant season this guy is having. And again, I love seeing 8 assists and no turnovers. Just tremendous. 12 of 21 from the floor last night. So Oklahoma City beats Cleveland. They're now 24-25 on the year. The Cavaliers are having a really good year. You know, you think Cleveland come into town. What's a big deal about that? Well, they're one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference. They're going to be in the playoffs. They're 9 games over right now. And so that's, you know, even without Donovan Mitchell, and that's a big blow for Cleveland, even without him, that's still a nice win for Oklahoma City. Jalen Williams from Santa Clara had 17 points. He made all 3 of his 3-point attempts, including one late that was key to Oklahoma City sealing this deal up. Of course, Oklahoma City had lost to Cleveland 110-102 back in December up in Cleveland. So a better outing last night. Now for Cleveland, Darius Garland, he did all he could, had 31 points, 13 assists. But Oklahoma City, they continue to play well. 6 out of 8 now, they have won. And Oklahoma City, again, in the thick of the play-in tournament. Of course, Oklahoma City gets out to a lead, and then Evan Mobley and Jared Allen really got going for Cleveland offensively. The Cavaliers led by 7 at the half, despite the fact Cleveland got off to only a 3 of 16 start from three-point range. 3 of 16 is what Cleveland was in the first half from behind the three-point line, and despite that, the Cavaliers led by 7, 54-47 at the half. But Oklahoma City outscored Cleveland, if I'm doing the math right here, by 19 in the second half, 7 in the third period and 12 in the fourth period. We mentioned SGA and how good he was. Elsewhere, we talked about Jalen Williams from Santa Clara with 17 points, 7 of 12 from the floor. Josh Giddey, I thought, was really good, had a couple of really impressive buckets late in that game to kind of, you know, ice the game away for Oklahoma City. 15 points, he had 6 rebounds, 6 assists, did turn it over a little bit with 4 turnovers, but I thought Giddey was pretty solid. How about Aaron Wiggins getting a start last night, had 10 points and 7 rebounds, 4 of 6 from the floor. I think you'll take that from him just about any time. So Oklahoma City, pretty efficient offensively. They shoot 53% from the floor. They shoot 56% from three-point range. 10 of 18 from three-point range. I love seeing that. Again, nothing drives me more crazy to see a team that cannot hit three-pointers shoot a bunch of three-pointers. But in this day and age where, you know, analytics have taken over seemingly and everybody just swears that putting up a bunch of three-pointers is the way to go, boy, I tell you, it just infuriates me when you see a team that does not shoot the three very well put up a bunch. Oklahoma City makes 10 of 18 last night. That will play at any point. Matter of fact, that was really, that went a long way into deciding who won this game. Now, Cleveland hit 8, so Cleveland only hit 2 3-pointers less than Oklahoma City, but the Cavaliers shot 8 of 29 from 3-point range, only 28%. So Oklahoma City was better from behind the 3-point line. They did a better job of getting to the free throw line. Oklahoma City shot 7 and made 8 more free throws than the Cavaliers. Oklahoma City, 22 of 25 compared to 14 of 18 for Cleveland. Oklahoma City out rebounding the Cavaliers by 9. So nice win. Again, no Donovan Mitchell. That made things much easier last night for the Thunder. But they, again, crawl back to within a game of 500 at 24-25. Next up for Oklahoma City, you know who, the defending world champion, Golden State Warriors. They were in action last night beating Toronto. We'll talk about that and all the other NBA action. We are certainly going to get into plenty of college basketball. Today is the Big 12 SEC Challenge. The first game of that scheduling agreement is going on right now, and it is taking place in Morgantown, West Virginia. The Mountaineers lead the number 15 Auburn Tigers 4-3 very early in this one. Auburn, of course, not nearly as good this year as they were a year ago without Jabari Smith and without Kessler, two dynamite players that Oklahoma had to deal with last year in a game down at Auburn. West Virginia getting a version of the Tigers a little bit easier to handle. And by the way, West Virginia still holding on to a spot in the NCAA tournament, according to Joe Lunardi. We will talk about that here in a little bit. We'll go over where Lunardi has the Big 12 teams projected to be, and we'll tell you who is not in the NCAA tournament from this conference as well. Plus, we'll talk about the NFL playoffs. Two, I just think, fantastic games tomorrow. I cannot wait for these games. San Francisco and Philadelphia, that's the first one, 2 o'clock on Fox, Channel 25 in Oklahoma City. The second game for the AFC Championship, A rematch from last year's AFC Championship, Cincinnati and Kansas City from Arrowhead Stadium. Not Burrowhead Stadium, believe me. I don't know where that came from. I don't think that is going over all that well with some of those Kansas City Chiefs hearing their stadium called Burrowhead Stadium, particularly because, I mean, Joe Burrow's only won one game there. I mean, I realize that Cincinnati has won three in a row over Kansas City, and I believe Cincinnati will win tomorrow. Mainly because of the injury to Patrick Mahomes. I'm not buying that everything's just going to be healed up and everything's going to be okay with Mahomes. But I think it's a little too early to start calling it Burrowhead Stadium, okay? I don't know how smart that is, but anyway, that'll be a fun one tomorrow. Again, both these games, cannot wait for them. I think both games probably will be different types of games. I could see the 49ers and Eagles being a little bit more, maybe a little more physical, a little more played in the trenches, a little more played in a phone booth, kind of an old school game. I could see Cincinnati and Kansas City, certainly being more of a throw-a-thon tomorrow, even though, we'll wait and see how mobile Patrick Mahomes can be. And there is news about some other Kansas City Chiefs dealing with some injuries. We'll talk about that as the show goes along. Plus, we're going to remember the 10 today. Yesterday was the unfortunate anniversary of the plane crash that took the lives of 10 members of the Cowboys basketball family. There's some really good stuff on okstate.com about the 10 men that we lost back in 2001, January 27th of 2001, 22 years ago yesterday. And we will certainly talk about that, and I'll share some thoughts on that. So we want to hear from you. 405-900-WWLS is the number to call on the Lucky Star line. Trade Pros Heat and Air Text Nation line is 62582, and the Sports Animal Twitter feed, powered by Mr. Electric at Sports Animal. Let's go to the phones. Justin, you're on the bottom line. Go ahead, please.
Hey, what's up, Matt?
Hey, man. Great to hear from you.
Great to hear from you, too. That's the first time I heard somebody say that. You said it was Burrowhead Stadium, or they were saying it was Burrowhead Stadium. And, this year has been right for the Kansas City Chiefs. In the first of the year, we didn't even predict to go to the playoffs. We thought, they lost Tyreek Hill. Everything's just going to fall apart. And they forgot that the type of coach Andy Reid is, that they forgot the type of franchise the Kansas City Chiefs are. A loss is a loss. But all the games they lost, they had leads in Buffalo, sure. Cincinnati, the Colts, and I can't remember better.
No, those are the three.
does. Yeah, exactly. And those are games that they should have won, you know. So, but at the same time, you know, people's been in doubting Patrick. I mean, even last year said, oh, Patrick Mahomes is regressing, and he had one of his best seasons of all time. So I'm glad, I'm really glad that for all the Kansas City Chiefs naysayers out there, for all the people that doubt the Kansas City Chiefs, keep doubting us. Keep doubting, keep saying Joe Burrow owns the Kansas City Chiefs. That's all right, because tomorrow they're going to show that I believe they're going to win the ball game. And I know there's a lot of key injuries too to some other players, but I think it's going to be a good battle. And I really think they're going to pull it out, hopefully win the Super Bowl.
Well, I can't wait for it. And I'm with you, Justin. At the beginning of the year, I felt like everybody was forgetting about Kansas City because of all the moves that the other teams in that division were making. The Broncos go and get Russell Wilson, and who would have thought it had been turned into that big of a disaster in Denver? Oakland went out and got Davante Adams. You know, the Chargers made moves to improve their ball club. So everybody in the AFC West was making these moves, and I just felt like at the beginning of the year, I just thought that people were forgetting about the Chiefs, and you have the Chiefs sitting over here saying, remember us? We've won a world title. We've been in another Super Bowl. We've, at that point, been in four AFC championship games in a row, now five. I was reminded the stat this week, Justin, that do you realize that Patrick Mahomes has never had to play a playoff game on the road? They've always had home field advantage. Whenever he's been in a playoff game, he has not had to go on the road yet. I know he won't have to tomorrow. The reason I like Cincinnati in this game, I think the injury to Mahomes really hurts, because you know as well as I do what he can do, you know, outside the pocket. I want to say, I think the number was like 113 or something along those lines. He led the league in pass attempts outside the pocket. And without that mobility, I don't know that he's going to be able to do that tomorrow. I don't have anything against him. I hope he's healthy. I hope he can do everything he can do. I'm just not buying that you have a high ankle sprain. And frankly, Justin, I think he was lucky that's all that it was, the way that, you know, the guy came down on his leg. You know, can he be as effective, you know, mobility-wise and make plays with his mobility? I have my doubts about that tomorrow. If he can, you know, that could certainly tip the scales in Kansas City's favor.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm just looking forward to seeing, you know, yeah, that's valid points on the ankle. And, you know, one thing that you can't deny with Patrick is that he's a competitor, obviously.
Oh, without a doubt. And, you bet.
He's going to get – I really think that for some reason, that guy always finds a way to make things happen. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, it's unfortunate. I mean, I just really think it's going to be a really good game. But I just think that, you know, one thing that makes Kansas City dangerous this year, no matter what, is they had that chip on. It's crazy that they had to have that chip on their shoulder because
of how good they've been. Yeah.
You noted. Yeah. But I really think that this team in particular right here, this Kansas City Chiefs team, has had a chip on their shoulder all year. And, I mean, I'm just thinking that tomorrow they're going to show when the stat kind of stacked against them. I think they're going to show what kind of championship team they are. That's what I think. Of course, I'm speaking as a fan, but at the same time, you know, I really think it's going to be either way. It's going to be a great game. So,
well, it would be kind of appropriate if they ended this season, you know, winning a game that, you know, we say that nobody expects them to win. I mean, it's a 1.5-point spread, so they're favored to win the game. I mean, I've seen a lot of people picking both, you know, both sides of this thing. But yeah, the season started with, I felt like, people forgetting just how good they were and how good Mahomes was. I don't think Cincinnati's going to be in awe of the moment. I mean, they won in Kansas City a year ago. Now, I'm not picking Cincinnati to win tomorrow because they won last year, but I am going to say, we just saw them go to Buffalo and in that environment, you know, get out to the 14-0 lead. That environment didn't bother them at all, and it didn't bother them to go to Kansas City last year. So I don't think the Cincinnati is going to be, you know, in awe of the moment or anything. I do think it bears watching. You know, the Bengals still have the injuries up front to their offensive line. I do think that still bears watching going against Chris Jones, who I mean, you can make a case Chris Jones should be the defensive player of the year in the league. I think he has, what, like 15 and a half sacks, which is ridiculous for a defensive tackle. You just don't see that. 17 tackles for loss and 15 and a half sacks. I think I can't wait to see what Snead, you know, the Kansas City corner, is able to do and what they will do with him. Will they travel him with Chase, or, you know, what Kansas City wants to do in covering those great receivers with Chase and Higgins? I did see that the tight end Hurst for Cincinnati is going to play. He's been dealing with a calf injury, but he was a full participant in practice yesterday, and he wasn't even listed on the final game status report. So it, you know, if as long as we, if we assume the Bengals are telling the truth, it sounds like he's going to be okay. So no, I think it's going to be a fantastic game. I really do. I like Cincinnati because I just worry. I'm not saying that Mahomes can't be a really good player in the pocket. Of course he can do that. I just think, I guess what I'm saying is that extra element that Mahomes has in getting outside the pocket and improvising and making plays, if he doesn't have that, in my opinion, that makes that big a difference. Justin, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling. You can be next at 405-900-WWLS, and we will go back to the phones. Coming up next, we'd love to have your thoughts on the NFL playoffs. What's going to happen tomorrow between Cincinnati and Kansas City? Also, want your thoughts on Philadelphia and San Francisco. Can't wait for either game. I just think both games are going to be fantastic. We've got the four best teams in the NFL playing. Tomorrow. I really cannot wait for these games tomorrow. I think there's matchups everywhere to talk about. It's just trying to figure out which matchup is going to make the biggest difference is kind of the trick to this thing. But we can certainly talk about that. We can talk OU and OSU basketball if you would like, as the Sooners get ready to take on number 2, Alabama, coming up at 1 o'clock. If you're driving down to Norman, would love to hear from you, your thoughts on Sooner basketball. Oklahoma State tonight is hosting Ole Miss in their Remember the 10 game as a part of the Big 12 SEC Challenge. That's a 7 o'clock game tonight up in Stillwater. And Oklahoma State is a 9.5-point favorite in that game. So the Cowboys, big favorite to win over Ole Miss, who has a losing record. Oklahoma is what I believe a 5.5-point dog in this game with Alabama. I'm looking at 5.5 right now, according to Caesars. So anyway, we can talk college basketball if you would like. We can talk about the Thunder and other NBA matters from last night. Whatever you'd like to talk about, feel free to call in, and we will go back to the phones coming up next on The Bottom Line, 98.1 FM, WWLS, the sports animal.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Null. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you were only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Man, I can't wait for these NFL championship games. Just read more about them tomorrow. NFC championship game tomorrow, 2 o'clock, Eagles and 49ers. That game on Fox, locally Channel 25, and the AFC championship game, Cincinnati and Kansas City, 5:30 our time, on Channel 9 here in Oklahoma City, CBS. Can't wait for them. I want to hear from you. Who's going to win these things? Who's going to be in the Super Bowl, and what's going to make the difference in both the NFC and the AFC championship games? This is The Bottom Line, 98.1 FM, WWLS, the sports animal. Before we go back to the phones, let's tell you what's coming up on the program. Coming up here in about 15 minutes, we're going to talk with Olivia Ray of Channel 5 in Cincinnati, WLWT, and get her perspective on the Bengals as they get set to go to Kansas City for the AFC Championship game tomorrow. Coming up at the top of the hour at noon, Daryl Guru Johnson, one of my favorite guys to have on the program from 95.7 The Game in San Francisco. He will join us to talk mostly about the 49ers, but we'll also hit a little bit on the Warriors as that is the next opponent for the Thunder. Oklahoma City hosting Golden State on Monday. Sunday evening. And we'll talk with Daryl Guru Johnson about the 49ers and the Warriors coming up at the top of the hour. There is a ton of UFC news to go over from last week with the Punisher, Emmanuel Rivera. Will do that at 12:20 today. Talk about UFC 283. There were certainly some noteworthy retirements in mixed martial arts, and we found out the next member of the UFC Hall of Fame, and that is very well deserved as well. So that's coming up with the Punisher at 12:20. And then at 12:40, we're going to talk with Jared Kohler of KCTV Kansas City, Channel 5. It's a CBS affiliate up there, and get the Chiefs' perspective on the AFC Championship game. And there's some injury news cropping up for Kansas City, not just Mahomes, but one of Mahomes' main targets has popped up on an injury report. So we'll talk with Jared Kohler about that and get his thoughts on the Bengals and the Chiefs. That's coming up at 12:40. For right now, though, we want to hear from you, so let's go to the phones and let's go to Webb. Webb, you're on the bottom line. Go ahead, Webb.
Yes, Matt. This is Coach Webb back from the Moore days. How are you?
I was wondering if this was Phil. Man, how you doing, pal? You doing okay?
I'm doing great, man. It's a blast from the past. I could not stop to let the day go by without calling in. I've heard you so proud of what you're doing, and heard your voice today on Saturday morning here, and thought, man, I've got to call in. It's not my deal to do, but man, I had to. So we're proud of you, man.
Well, I appreciate that. Now, what are you doing nowadays? Where are you at? What are you up to?
Well, just still in education, still teaching, and coach for a long time, and now just kind of taking it easy. Got some young boys growing and spending time with the family and farming still. But, I want to thank you for always sharing the story about Coach Bobby Proctor.
Oh, yeah.
That always hits home every year. Well, and that was a special time.
Now, okay, now you could reset that, because I want to make sure. It's been a while since I've heard you tell it, so I want to make sure I have this right. Now, this took place, in a backyard barbecue somewhere, and Coach Proctor had you out running drills? Is that what happened, Coach?
Yes, absolutely. You know, times have changed over the years. When I was a young man growing up, Bobby Proctor, Coach Proctor at OU, secondary coach, longtime second coach, Coach Switzer, and those guys down there had been there. That was my idol, and a lot of us. And so Coach Knowles, who, legendary Hall of Fame coach there in Moore, Oklahoma, set up this meeting. Unexpecting, I did not know that. I just thought I was going to have to go over there and prove myself, and ended up there in the house and look around, and there's some legendary coaches now, Ray Goldsby and some of those names that are still out there. But we're sitting there, and I'm thinking, well, it's time to go. I've got my number two pencil and got my notepad, and we're going to sit here and we'll go. Well, there's a knock on the door, and Coach Knowles says, go answer that door. And I said, okay, yes, sir. And I opened the door, and there stands Bobby Proctor. Now, the thing you hadn't said is that, he's standing there, and he's got a bowl of shrimp. And, of course, they all have their refreshments there, and they're ready to go. And I'm just in awe thinking, what in the world? And Coach Proctor comes in, and he says, you're new secondary coach. I said, yes, sir. And he says, well, I'm going to visit with you. And so they're all laughing. I mean, they're just giggling. And I said, all right, I got my pencils and my notepad, and I'm ready to go. He said, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm going to take notes here, sir. And he said, no, that's not what we're doing. We're going to go out here in the backyard. Now, I'm still pretty good shape at that time, but, an hour and a half of backpedaling and doing form tackling drills and things with a legendary secondary coach, that took the wind out of me for sure, but that was a special, special night.
And you've probably heard me talk about this, but years later, I had a chance to meet him. I was at lunch downtown in Bricktown, and I saw Coach Proctor. I'd never met him. I'd met Scooter. Yes. I'd done some business with Scooter before, but I had never met Coach Proctor. And you know how this is, Phil. I mean, you don't want to bother somebody when they're getting ready to eat their meal. You know how that goes.
Oh, absolutely.
But
I got you.
I had never met him. And I was like, well, it's probably now or never. And so I went over. I think he was with his wife, and I think it was before they got their food, so I didn't feel quite as bad. But I just said, sir, look, my name is Matt Meyer, and introduced myself and said, look, I don't want anything from you. I just want to shake your hand, tell you,
yes,
always looked up to you and everything. And he was somebody
to Coach Proctor, that, he would stop and do anything. And probably, with technology and computers and all the things that go on in those days, the only way you learned is you had to get together and talk and communicate. And probably not anybody in college or even at the high school level, for sure, in the state of Oklahoma, has done more for high school coaches than Bobby Proctor.
Oh, without a doubt. No, without a doubt.
Without a doubt, for sure, for sure.
Well, hey, it's great. I'm glad you called, man. I really appreciate you calling, Phil. I hope you guys are doing okay, too.
We're doing fine. And Matt, again, I just wanted to take a moment to tell you, you know, I know the Moore guys and definitely the rest of us out there are sure proud of what you're doing, and we enjoy listening. I've got to share a story with you, though, to the listeners. Matt, I tell you what, back in the day when we were coaching and he was on the football team there in Moore, Oklahoma, there was not a guy that was as solid as a person, young man. We all knew good things were going to happen for Matt. He was always in position for us, and in the words of Tommy Knowles, you were a throwback, and that means a tremendous amount to guys like me. And so, Matt Meyer, you're one in a million, man. Keep it up.
Coach, I really appreciate it. Thanks so much. That's Phil Webb, who coached at Moore High School when I was there and then went on to coach at Hera High School and a lot of other places. And again, I remember hearing the story of Bobby Proctor, and longtime football fans will remember him from his days at Oklahoma coaching defensive backs. And Coach Proctor had Coach Webb out in the backyard of someone's house running drills. That's how Coach Proctor was going to teach Phil Webb how to coach DBs at the time. And I've got a tremendous amount of respect for Bobby, and love hearing from Scooter, with OklahomaTickets.com and all that. So anyway, good to hear from Phil. I haven't talked to him in a long time, but he was on staff at Moore when I was in high school, and it certainly wasn't because of me. But back then we actually had some pretty good teams with Frank Romero and some of those guys in my class, like J.D. McCoy and Darren Flowers, Larry Timpson, and those guys. So anyway, good to hear from Coach Webb, man. That was really cool. And yeah, I've got so much respect for Bobby Proctor. I can't begin. Yeah, and I just happened to see him one day. I had never met him, and you know, I'm not a big autograph guy. I'm not somebody. You know, maybe when I was a little kid, you know, I probably got some autographs here and there, but I've never been a big autograph guy. If I saw Michael Jordan somewhere. Honest to God, and I'm telling the truth, I don't think I would ask him for an autograph. I'm somebody who just wants to shake somebody's hand, just so I can say, hey, I met so and so. I met Barry Sanders. I met name your historical sports figure. So when I saw Coach Proctor, I knew that I had to go up and at least say hello. And I'm not big on interrupting people's meals, but he and his wife hadn't got their food yet, and so I was able to go up and say hi to him. And Coach Webb is exactly right. I don't know if there's a guy that has done more for high school football coaches in this state than Bobby Proctor when he was at OU. And quite frankly, I don't know what all was going on behind the scenes. I'm obviously was not inside the program. I don't know that was the wisest move ever to not have Bobby Proctor stick around the OU football program, but that's a story for another day. Let's go back to the phones. This is The Bottom Line, 98.1 FM, WWLS, the sports animal. Chuck, it's great to hear from you, man. What's on your mind?
Thank you, Matt, and enjoyed the story about Coach. I got to meet at Stroud the governor, and actually Grapevine Terry Bradshaw, but I've got some trivia.
Okay.
Kind of like Matt Meyer type, Coach type. I need to know, and I researched this, I hope I'm right, the last time two teams, not necessarily that had been in a Super Bowl, but the first team, the two teams that had not won a Lombardi, each team was trying for the first Lombardi trophy, the year and the teams.
Okay, so you're looking for the Super Bowl pitting two teams that had not won one yet.
Right, and that doesn't mean Green Bay, Kansas City.
Right, the first one, right. Well, I guess Super Bowl III was Colts and Jets, right?
Well, I'll make it quick because I know you have the guys that call us. 1999-2000, the St. Louis Rams and
the Tennessee Titans.
Tennessee Titans.
Right.
Each was trying for the Super Bowl first trophy. Now, the thing of it is, I have two other unique questions about, first of all, the Rams. What is unique about the Rams and Super Bowl?
What is unique about the Rams and the Super Bowl? Now, I know that the Rams have won a Super Bowl in two different cities.
That's it.
Now you also have to remember the Raiders did as well. The Raiders won two in Oakland and then one in Los Angeles.
The last question, then we'll have one more question. What's unique about the Houston Astros in baseball?
What's unique about the Houston Astros? Are you talking about in terms of winning a championship or just unique?
Exactly. Well, close. In terms of winning a pennant. Let's say a pennant.
Well, they have obviously won a couple of world championships as in the American League. Now, they played for the National League. They were in the NLCS in 1986 when they were still in the National League.
Well, no, they were National League champs and lost to the White Sox.
That's right.
The only team in baseball history to have a pennant in each league.
2005. You're exactly right. Okay. I follow you.
And then I say, I appreciate your support of veterans, and I've enjoyed these callers, but Matt, I am just feeling pessimistic about OU basketball. I'm sorry to say this, but I think Bama's going to run them off the court. So what do they have to, and I like the coach. I really do the coach. He seems to be the right coach, but what do they have to do, and OSU too, to bring Oklahoma basketball and Oklahoma State basketball to where it belongs? You know I enjoy your show, and I'm listening to hearing all these guests you're bringing on, but what about OU basketball? And quickly, I say Bengals and Eagles, but I'm going to be watching the games too. Thank you, Matt. And I'll hang up and listen to the rest of the show and have a good week. And of course, I've been listening to you and Craig all week. Thanks.
Chuck, thank you very much for calling. Yeah, we definitely respect our veterans out there and always welcome their phone calls. Oh, as far as OU and OSU basketball, you just got to get better players. You got to get players that are going to be more of your all-conference and all-American types. You know, we've had a promo running with Al and Jim talking, and Al is exactly right. And it's been this way now for 7-8 years. It seems like the goal for both OU and OSU is, can they get into the NCAA tournament? Well, I hate to tell you this, but there was a point in time where that wasn't even that might not even be on the goal sheet. I mean, that was just assumed. It was just like, okay, they're going to be in the tournament. How high a seed can they be? You know, can they get into the Sweet 16? Can they make a run at the Final Four? Can they possibly make a run at a Big 8 or a Big 12 championship? Can they knock off a Kansas or a Missouri or someone like that and get to the top of the conference? As far as what they have to do, they still got to get better players. You know, it sounds simple. You know, Oklahoma just does not have, in my opinion, a lot of options where they can just give the ball to somebody and he can go get a bucket. I mean, they don't have a Hollis Price. They don't have a Nolan Johnson, let alone you know, somebody like a Buddy Hield or a Blake Griffin or someone like that. You got to get better players, and Oklahoma just does not have that. Oklahoma, for the most part this year, has played really well defensively. They've had their times where they've fallen apart defensively a little bit. Oklahoma has been efficient offensively this year, but they don't have a guy, in my opinion, maybe Uzan can be that in time. They don't really have a guy that can just go get a bucket right now. Just go get a bucket. We need somebody to create some offense. That guy is not on OU's roster. Oklahoma State, I think they've got a little bit more athleticism than Oklahoma. I think they've got probably a little bit more offensive talent if everybody is healthy. Now, Bryce Thompson was a little bit banged up the other night in that loss, you know, against Texas. But, Oklahoma State, you know, they've got to get better players as well. It really comes down to that. And until both the Sooners and the Cowboys get, you know, more of the players that either Lon Kruger had or certainly that Kelvin and Eddie had, or, you know, going back to a Billy Tubbs, until you have guys that are on the NBA's radar, you're going to have seasons like this. It's just that simple. I mean, under Mike Boynton, and I like Mike Boynton a lot, but this is his sixth year. In the previous 5 years, they've been to one NCAA tournament. And the reason they were in that one NCAA tournament, and this is not a criticism of Boynton, but he hired Cade Cunningham, his brother, I think it was. So you get Cade Cunningham, who ends up being the number one pick overall. And, you know, until you consistently get more guys like that, It's going to be tough sledding. I mean, I don't know any other way to say it. I mean, again, it sounds simple, but there's just not, to me, there's certainly a lack of athleticism in Norman. And I don't see either team really having the level of talent that you need in order to be a consistent factor, not only in the conference, but in the NCAA tournament. So, again, you know, the Cowboys have recruited well by the, you know, by the recruiting services. I mean, they've had, you know, some pretty highly rated guys, But, you know, like, for example, look at a Rondell Walker, you know, who was really highly recruited out of what I think Putnam City West High School. And he ends up, you know, transferring or whatever. So both programs are just not where they need to be talent wise. Until they improve that, I think it's going to be tough sledding for them moving forward. Would love to have your thoughts at 405-900-WWLS on the Lucky Star line. You can text the show at 62582 on the Trade Pros Heat and Air Text Nation line. In the Sports Animal Twitter feed, at Sports Animal, the Sports Animal Twitter feed powered by Mr. Electric. Up next, we're going to talk about the Cincinnati Bengals, and we'll do so with Olivia Ray of Channel 5 in Cincinnati, WLWT Television. We'll get her perspective on the Bengals and just an enormous win in Buffalo last week, and what the Bengals need to do to make it 4 in a row and 2 consecutive AFC Championship game victories over the Chiefs. That's next on The Bottom Line, 98.1 FM, WWLS, the Sports Animal.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
Hey, coming up in about 15 minutes, we're going to preview the NFC Championship game with one of our favorites, Daryl Guru Johnson of 95.7 The Game in San Francisco. We'll ask him about the 49ers and their matchup with the Eagles coming up tomorrow, 2 o'clock Oklahoma time on Fox, Channel 25 locally. We'll also hit on the Golden State Warriors because they are the next opponent for the Oklahoma City Thunder, Monday night here in Oklahoma City. So we'll talk to Guru about the 49ers and the Warriors coming up here in about 15 minutes. This is The Bottom Line, 98.1 FM, WWLS, the Sports Animal. We're thrilled to be joined right now by Olivia Ray of WLWT Television in Cincinnati, Channel 5, the NBC affiliate in the Queen City. You can go to WLWT.com for more information on that great television station, and you can follow Olivia on Twitter at Olivia Ray, R-A-Y, TV. And Olivia, I really appreciate your time. I know it's a busy weekend for everybody covering the Bengals. What a performance for Cincinnati last week in Orchard Park. Cincinnati scores touchdowns on their first 2 drives of the game. They jump out to a 14-0 lead. The Bengals would go on to beat Buffalo 27-10. Joe Burrow threw for 242 yards and a couple of touchdowns. Joe Mixon ran for 105 and a score. And the Bengals defense held a very high-powered Bills offense to only 10 points. What a day it was for Cincinnati last Sunday, Olivia.
That it was, and they did it behind 3 backup offensive linemen. It seems for everyone in Cincinnati, they're in the same spot that they were last year. Just joined the WLWT team for this playoff run, but everyone was worried about the offensive line last year, and we know why, because Joe Burrow took a beating, and they're in the same spot despite paying lots of cash for a revamped offensive line in the offseason and restructuring that, but they're not in the same spot at the same time. It seems like these 3 backups can hold their own, and it's going to be the same exact situation this coming Sunday because head coach Zach Taylor officially ruled out the starting right guard and left tackle. So they will be relying on the interior, Max Sharping, a backup who just came in last week, and a rookie, Cordell Volson, obviously, to try and fend off Chris Jones and protect their quarterback this week.
You know, Olivia, the ascent of Joe Burrow has just been incredible to watch. The Bengals have already won 5 playoff games, and they came very close to winning the Super Bowl with him last year. So far in these playoffs, he's thrown for 451 yards, 3 scores, and no interceptions. He's doing everything he can to prove he's the best quarterback in football. I don't know if he's there quite yet, but he's knocking on the door, you know, for sure, Olivia. Can you talk about his development and what's allowed Joe Burrow to be so special so early into his career?
I believe we want to look back to week 5. Obviously, the Bengals, everyone was calling a Super Bowl hangover in Cincinnati. You know, they get off to an 0-2 start, give up 13 sacks in the first few weeks. And Joe Burrow went to his offensive coordinator, Brian Callahan, and said he wanted more input on how they were going to call plays. And I believe that happened in week 5. And as you can see, after that, it seems everything has changed in Cincy, and the Bengals have won 10 straight, and Burrow is ascending, like you said. I mean, there's no drop-off from week to week. Even when it seems there are a few miscues, if you go back and watch the film the next day, it always seems like the receiver was maybe not on the same page with him, but he was not in the wrong there. So it seems like he has a great relationship with Brian Callahan. So I know when we've seen Brian's name in a lot of head coaching searches recently, it's maybe made some people uneasy knowing that he and Joe have just kind of worked hand in hand through this latter part of the season. And that's what you've seen. I mean, Burrow has emerged as an MVP candidate at this point.
We're talking with Olivia Ray of WLWT Television Cincinnati, the NBC affiliate, Channel 5 in Cincinnati, and you can go to WLWT.com for more information on that great station, and you can follow Olivia on Twitter at Olivia Ray TV. This is The Bottom Line, 98.1 FM, WWLS, the sports animal. You know how this works, Olivia. You know, just about with any team, the offense gets the majority of the headlines, especially with one with Joe Burrow and a great receiving core with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd, and a lot of people down here are rooting for, you know, Joe Mixon and Samaje Perine, who were teammates at Oklahoma, and even Hayden Hurst, who's had a really nice season at tight end. Offense gets the headlines, but this defense for the Bengals is really coming on as of late. They've only allowed one opponent in their last six games to score more than 18 points. We all remember what Sam Hubbard did, one of the biggest plays, I think, in the history of the team, with a 98-yard fumble return for a touchdown, completely flipped that wild card game against Baltimore. Linebacker Logan Wilson led the team in tackles this year by a mile. The Bengals were seventh in the league against the run. They tied for fifth in scoring defense in the regular season, and they might have had their finest hour last Sunday. Can you kind of talk about this Bengals defense? Really, to me, kind of the side of the ball that's not getting a whole lot of attention going into tomorrow's game.
Yes, and I think this point speaks to that. I actually just did a story this week on Lou Anarumo, the defensive coordinator, and I've seen several national analysts saying it's a joke that he hasn't been his name hasn't been tossed around in any of these head coaching searches. But the man has put together two fine seasons, and like you said, it flies under the radar. But at this point in the last four games for the Bengals, opposing offenses have a higher percent chance of turning the ball over than they do scoring a touchdown, if that says anything.
Wow.
And this team has seven straight games where they forced a turnover in the fourth quarter, which obviously, you know, is when it matters most. So it always seemed like luck as you just kept watching this unfold as they'd make some miraculous play, you know, late in the game. It's not luck anymore when it's trending this way, right? It's no longer a coincidence. They're game planning for this. And Lou Anarumo, my favorite scene from last week was Eli Apple. We know Eli Apple likes to stir the pot on any team he plays for, but yeah. He was leaning against his locker in Buffalo, smoking a cigar. He was the only one smoking a cigar, puffing on it in between. He told me, I said, you know, why have you guys been able to pick apart? It seems like the most elite quarterbacks in this league. And he said, because we have a mad scientist named Lou Anarumo. And that is what they call their defensive coordinator. The mad Italian scientist, Lou Anarumo. If you don't know the name, you should probably know it. And it's only a matter of time before people do take notice, and he will be tossed around in those head coaching searches.
Oh, I don't think that side of the ball is getting nearly enough discussion, myself included, when we do the shows throughout the week here in Oklahoma City. So tomorrow, Bengals and Chiefs, 5:30 Central Time on CBS. That's Channel 9 here in Oklahoma City. Olivia, give us a key or two tomorrow if the Bengals are going to make it four straight against Kansas City and get back to their second straight Super Bowl. What do the Bengals have to do to win?
Takeaways has been the key that they've been preaching all week long, but they do that every week. And I know that a lot of people want to push this aside because of how well that the offensive line played last week, despite having those three backups in. But Buffalo did not have Chris Jones, Frank Clark, or Carlos Dunlap for that matter, and who Bengals fans are familiar with. And so it's going to be an interesting test for Jackson Carmen on the outside. I think, you know, I think they'll try and confuse him a bit with Frank Clark. I know Frank Clark hasn't been as consistent as of late, but he's still an elite player. And then there's Chris Jones. I mean, the man has played in 13 playoff games, has zero sacks. He's bound to get to someone, and if he wants to get to anyone, it's Joe Burrow. He signed off of his press conference yesterday, and he told us all, I'll see y'all at Burrowhead on Sunday.
Yes, all that.
So he is aware of how he has not been able to touch Joe in any of the times they've played him. And it, like I told you from the jump, it's going to be interesting on for that interior. It's a rookie in Cordell Volson who has played out of this world all season long, won that job in training camp, but it's, you know, he's faced Chris Jones with the help of Alex Kappa last time, and now being down that starting right guard, it's going to be interesting for him.
Hey, Olivia, I really appreciate the time. I know you're getting ready to cover the game tomorrow. Thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Glad I could fit you in between some barbecue.
Well, enjoy it up there. They have quite a bit up there, quite a bit to enjoy. She's Olivia Ray from WLWT Television in Cincinnati, Channel 5, the NBC affiliate. And I'll tell you another stat that, in my opinion, bodes really well for Cincinnati. The Bengals, I'm reading this on ESPN.com from Ben Baby. Bengals ranked fifth in red zone efficiency on offense, and they tied for ninth in red zone defense during the regular season. Now, Kansas City was second in the league when it came to scoring touchdowns in the red zone. You know what Kansas City was defensively in the red zone? 31st out of 32. So when you can get the ball, you know, on the doorstep, you normally punch it in against Kansas City. And again, Chris Jones is one of the finalists for NFL Defensive Player of the Year. Kansas City, they've got some playmakers on defense, but they have a tendency in the red zone to give up some scores. So, be wary of that. If Cincinnati's able to put together some drives, chances are they're going to finish them off tomorrow. And if they do, that will go a long way into helping them knock off Kansas City and get back to the Super Bowl. This is The Bottom Line, 98.1 FM, WWLS, a sports animal. Much more on the AFC Championship game coming up. Oh, here in about 45 minutes or so, we're going to flip to the NFC Championship game next. And we're going to talk with Daryl Guru Johnson of 95.7 The Game in San Francisco, get his thoughts on the 49ers, may hit a little bit on the Warriors as well, as they are in town next to play the Oklahoma City Thunder on Monday night. That's a 7 o'clock game, 5:30 Monday night for pregame coverage, the Oklahoma Men's Clinic Thunder Forecast. The Guru, Daryl Johnson from KGMZ, 95.7 The Game in San Francisco, was next on 98.1 FM, WWLS, the sports animal.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up,
anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.